Gillingham are on the Wembley way.
Hello and welcome to the Gills Fancast. A couple of games for us to look over today as we reflect on the midweek draw at the Memorial Stadium against Bristol Rovers, and then go into a bit more depth about Saturday's narrow defeat to Ipswich Town. Joining me as ever is James Hawkins. James.
Yeah.
Obviously, 1 point from six available this week. Doesn't sound... what's the word? Amazing on paper. But how... Having seen both games, how would you sort of assess the week we've had from performance-wise, starting with, obviously, Tuesday night's game?
Trying to think of a word to assess it, really. I would probably assess it as...
frustrating.
Yeah?
Yeah, a frustrating week. Just the simple fact was that I think on Tuesday against Bristol Rovers, I watched it on iFollow, that they weren't a great side. But we didn't decide to turn up until the last 20-25 minutes when we changed it into the back three. And that was the real frustrating thing of it. That until we changed the system and I got a couple of more people involved off the bench, that we then started turning up a notch, and it looked like there was only going to be one team that really wanted it. Yesterday was, yeah, I'm sure we're going into more depth about it, but yeah. Oh yeah, I would say, in answer to your question, it's been pretty frustrating week this week, definitely. Yeah, because Tuesday, first off especially, we was pretty poor, wasn't we?
Mm.
Even having said that, I thought it was just a poor game with both teams well off the pace. Because despite the fact I didn't think we played very well first half, I thought it was a bit harsh on us to be going in behind at half time.
Yeah, yeah.
It was sort of their one chance. So that was frustrating. But then obviously Evans made the decision sort of half hour, 25 minutes to go to change to the back three. And then from then on, it was us pretty much the rest of the way in the game from there. And obviously, we got the equaliser through Tom O'Connor, which was an interesting one because obviously it was from open play and we had one centre-half having the original shot that got saved and then a left-back following it in. So I don't know who was on the cover on the halfway line and whether there was no one there at all. And from there, it was something that looked like we could then go on and snatch a winner. And I think it was Byrne right at the end of the shot from the edge of the box.
It got deflected wide
and it looked like it was goal bound. So that 1 point could quite easily have turned into three from what was, for the large part, not a great performance. But listen, people generally say that any point on the road's a decent point in this league, especially when you've had to come from behind to earn it. And then, yeah, yesterday, obviously we knew yesterday was going to be a tough game, didn't we? How well did you feel we competed with Ipswich over the contest?
Yeah, massively. Massively. I think Steve Evans is right. I think we should have actually won the game. I think we should have won the game. In terms of... Bonham's made one save all afternoon. And people can sit there and say... Oh well, we picked up 1.6. It's not great. So which, yeah, fair enough, it isn't. But if we're gonna play like that and compete like that for the rest of the season, then we'll be all right. We'll be fine.
Do you think, especially at home, we'll play worse than that and win games this season?
Yeah, definitely. Without a shadow of a doubt. I think it really showed what squad had the depth yesterday. I think, yeah, I was disappointed in Mandron massively. It was just a real frustrating afternoon. I see a lot of people digging out Hanlon after yesterday.
I thought he was bright yesterday.
Yeah, but I can't see where he could have been at fault. But they'll be up there. They'll be up there at Switch because of the type of squad they got. Yeah, they've massively got away with one yesterday. They know that. Look at the way they celebrated at the end.
That's a story in itself.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But just celebrate like they'd won the cup final, beating little old Gillingham.
Yeah, yeah, and that is ultimately what we want, isn't it? Listen, we will lose games this season, but I think, especially at Priestfield, we want to go to games knowing that our team are going to go and give it everything they've got. And if a team beats us, they will have had to have earned it. And Ipswich had to earn that 3 points yesterday. Yeah, so, and yeah, on paper, they've got a vastly superior squad than us. You know, we compete over the course of the 90 minutes.
We would have rolled over last year, isn't it?
And we lose 1-0 to... I know Steve Evans has said that, obviously, Tommy O'Connor's lost his man at the back post, which he, I suppose, effectively has, but I thought it was a decent goal. I thought it was a great cross, and it was really good wing play from, I can't remember his name, who scored the goal. But he makes a late run from out to in, and where O'Connor's stuck under the ball, the winger's got all the momentum to come above him and tower in the header. Mm. But yeah, it was just a bit frustrating that we couldn't... I think the problem is that against your Wickhams, your Blackpools, your Bristol Rovers and stuff, this lack of a proven striker we seem to be coping with quite well. But when you take that next step up to your Ipswiches, your Sunderlands, probably, they're probably the games where it's going to show a little bit. And I just thought we were a little bit lacking in that final... It's the final finish, isn't it, at the end of the day?
Someone having that know-how of being in the right area at the right time.
Yes. Apparently, Amon was the sitter first half. I've not seen it back.
No.
But I don't remember this happening at the time and thinking, oh my God, how's he missed? So I need to try and see that back.
Yeah.
And the other gilt-edged chance is Jakubiak's, isn't it? Where he goes through and his first touch is a bit heavy. It allows the defender to get a block in.
He kind of needs to check back.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. He tries to control it and hit it on the first time. And if he checks back, you might... He kind of notices that the defender's running behind him. And he managed to get the nick of the ball. But if Jakubiak checks back, he might actually catch Jakubiak and bring him down. I thought we should have had a penalty yesterday. I'm pretty sure for handball. I think.
No, I don't remember.
I don't. Or one was shoving the back in the area.
I know what you mean.
I can't remember who it was on. Was it on Aimer?
I can't remember. I know what you mean. It's one of them ones that I think probably falls into the category of seen them given.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think
Ollie Lee had a couple of gilt-edged chances in the first half where he dragged a couple wide, didn't he?
Yeah.
So we've had the chances.
And the thing is, for probably a 20-minute spell in the second half, we had them camped in our half.
Yeah.
You know, we had a lot of corners, a lot of throw-ins. Frustrating that we probably could have made more of our corners than we did. But it was a little bit disappointing with them yesterday because I felt like... particularly with the corners, I felt like the deliveries were quite good.
Yeah.
But just it seemed like everyone was running front post and the ball was going back post. Yeah. Instead of someone just hanging out at the back post and winning the initial flick on, we all sort of went frontwards and everyone was just getting bypassed all the time. So that was frustrating. But in the main, I walked away from Priestfield just today, you know, quite content with how we performed. Yeah, I thought the atmosphere was very, very good. And that's what happens when the team gets itself on top and is putting pressure on our opponents. It lifts the crowd. When you're winning corners and stuff, it builds up a bit of anticipation. And that was as loud as I've heard Priestfield for quite a while, to be honest, yesterday. And I was a bit disappointed with the Ipswich fans. I thought they were pretty quiet considering the numbers.
Yeah, I know. They started singing when they went in and they went quiet again.
Yeah, so... And the goal, their goal is what it is. Like I say, I think it's it's more a decent goal from their side than it is shocking defending from us. And one thing you could say about this last week or so, or even going back to the Wigan game as well, I know we've conceded the goal Tuesday and we conceded yesterday, but do you think we're starting to get a bit more composed at the back now?
Yeah.
It seems like the stupid mistakes seem to be coming a bit less frequent.
They are. They are. They are. We were conceding, on average last year, we were conceding 2 goals every game, weren't we? That was our average last year.
Pretty much.
We've only conceded 2 in the last 2. So we are getting there. We are slowly getting there. Aymeron Ogilvie are stopping pissing about with the ball in the area now and just getting rid of it. I thought, credit to Max, I thought he was decent yesterday.
I thought the 2 of them were pretty good yesterday.
Yeah,
actually.
I thought they were. I've sat here and criticised Max quite a lot. But credit where credit's due, I thought, I'm not being funny, Ipswich, they had, is it Jackson started?
Caden Jackson, yeah.
Who's a decent forward in this division. And then obviously Norwood come on, and I thought he dealt with them both very well. And they sat on him, which I noticed particularly was quite weird. But I thought defensively we are starting to get there. We are looking, and that's, I said to you yesterday, we're keeping ourselves in games, and that is massive at this level. Even if you're going 1 goal down, you're giving yourself a chance to get something out of a game. And if you're giving yourself a chance, you're either going to potentially draw the game or potentially then go and win it. And all the time you're giving yourself a chance in this division, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, because we've played the 9 league games now, and obviously we've only won 2, which is a little bit frustrating because I think our performances are probably warranted better than that. Hmm. But that's the thing, we've lost 3, they've all been by 1 goal.
Yeah.
And in every single of the 9 games, we've been in for the entirety and competed.
Yeah. Could you gloss over the last 9 games? Would you look back at all 9 games and gone, could have won that, could have won that, could have won
that?
The
only one I'd say probably not is the Burton one, where we was pretty poor. But I know Doncaster, we had 3 or 4 really good chances, didn't we, at 1-0 in the first half to make it 2-3-0. Burton is Burton. Blackpool, we're 2-0 up, we should win. Tranmere, we're 2-0 up, we should win. Tuesday night, I know we played poorly for an hour, but once we got level, we could easily have gone on and won that game. So, yeah, we should have more points than we've got. Yeah. At the end of the table doesn't lie. We are where we are at the moment. But for me, what I want to see in the first 10 games of the season is us taking steps in the right direction. And I still think I'm seeing that.
Yeah.
So I still firmly believe that we're gonna get there in time. And I see people on the Facebook forum, as they do yesterday, going, oh, technically, by win percentage, Evans is the second worst ever manager we've had in his first 10 games or whatever. And well, let's all look at it and say that we're higher than we were at this stage last season. We've scored more goals than we had at this stage last season. We've let in less than we had this stage last season. So there's no point really comparing it to 30 years ago. We want to improve on last season. And at the moment,
well, that's all right.
We're
then,
doing
like,
that.
If we're going to go into win percentage records, then all right, it's got a worse win percentage record on a manager that did relegate us in Mark Stimpson, a manager that nearly relegated us in Andy Pennock.
And whatever, yeah, people look at the table and go, whatever, Jill's a 16th, it's not great. But our 10th game next season is Oxford. If we go to Oxford next week and win, we probably sit in the top half after 10 games. And everyone goes, you know what, if before the season started, you said after 10 games we'll be in the top half of the table, people go, happy days.
Yeah.
That's if we do go and win next week, which we'll come on to a bit. What did you make of Ben Pringle's impact off the bench yesterday?
Yeah, massive. Really like Ben Pringle. Has to be starting now. I don't see any reason why not.
Yeah, Evan said afterwards he's still trying to build him up.
I know he is. He said that he's going to be really important for us, isn't he? So I can imagine we're going to see quite a bit of him come recently. He is a class footballer, isn't he?
This is, I think, a big difference in us now compared to last season, is that in Ben Pringle and Ollie Lee, we've got 2 midfielders that will allow us to dictate and control games.
Yeah, yeah.
Where I felt like last season, with the midfield options we had, we just didn't have that little bit of quality that would allow us to keep a team under pressure for a sustained period of time, whereas now we've got them players that can do that.
Yeah, I thought he was, I thought he was really good. I thought his delivery was fantastic. Like you say, I think there was one pass in the second half where I think it's about a 60-yard ball where he's just sprayed it right across and it's gone straight. I can't remember where it went to, but that's the sort of quality. He can hit one ball that can just cut a team completely open. And when you've got players like that in your side, you're going to create chances. It's just frustrating that we don't have someone that's just going to be on the end of it to finish these chances off. And is that going to stop us from getting to the next level this season? I hope it can't. Look, we're going to, obviously, I'm sure everyone will assess it in January of where we are and where we're going to be. But yeah, it's a real frustrating one because last season we didn't have a midfield, but we had forwards finishing it. This season we have a brilliant midfield, but we just don't have that cutting edge.
While we're on the subject of midfielders, a lot of people that know me that will know that I've not been the biggest fan of Mark Byrne, particularly last season.
That's a bit of an understatement, isn't it?
I thought he was... I won't lie, I thought he was awful last season. Yeah. I really did. But I don't know if Evans has changed his role slightly or whatever, or because he's seen so many other midfielders come and he's thought, I'd better step it up a level.
Mm.
But I think he's been really, really good this season.
He has been really good. Really good.
Because before the season started, us two kept saying, not sure if he's really going to get a game. Yeah. I think he's played every game, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think he has. Yeah. Yeah, I think he has. I think he's been outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. I wasn't his biggest fan last year, but credit to him. He's obviously gone away in the summer, worked so hard, and being one of the old boys to get into that brand new midfield still, credit to him. Absolute credit to him. And I think he's a fantastic pro, really nice guy as well, and he obviously wants to play for this football club, and you want people like that around the place. And he obviously cares so much, and you can see the way he plays as well. That he won't shy out of a tackle. He always wears his heart on his sleeve, and he'll give everything. He's not the prettiest of footballers, but he will allow the likes of Liam Pringle to go and play the football that he want to play. And you have to have players like Mark Byrne in your midfield.
Yeah. So carrying on with yesterday's game. Afterwards, I put out on Twitter asking for people's three-word reports of the game. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through them. And you can tell me if you agree with the assessments or not, basically.
All right.
I'll let you take all the flack for disagreeing with people.
Don't know your ways.
So first up, Steve Spires says, good effort, unrewarded.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. Yeah, special.
I think
actually, that
is probably fair. Colin Hamer says toothless up front. This is a weird one because...
I wouldn't say toothless.
We've scored a decent amount of goals this season. This is the thing.
Wouldn't say toothless.
But like I say, I don't know if it's just when we play them teams with that extra step. You know, not everyone in this league's got Caden Jackson and Ollie Norwood to call upon up front in comparison to us.
Oh, no. You've got to have money for that.
Well, yeah. We was a little bit. It's toothless the word. We were just a little bit wasteful with our chances yesterday. We had a couple of really good ones and wasted them.
Toothless to me suggests there's a lack of effort. No, am I wrong? Maybe.
I don't know really.
It'd be interesting to see what he means by toothless.
Yeah. Cameron Fern says lack of quality. That I think probably is a little bit harsh.
That is harsh.
I thought up until that final finish, I thought we showed good levels of quality yesterday.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
Particularly in midfield and in that second half. Aaron Stanley said deserved a point. I'd go with that. I thought we was well worth your point. Liam Stanley says we need a striker. He didn't say we, because that'd be four words. He said need a striker.
Need a striker.
Do you think we do still need a striker?
Yeah.
You do?
Hmm. like you said, you hit a nail on the head, that when we're going to come up against teams that we should be beating, generally we're sharing the goals around the team, but it seems to be where there's tight games like yesterday, chances are very few and far between.
Yeah.
And good strikers take the chances they're given. Our strikers want to take three or four before they stick it in the back of the net, and in this league it's a very unforgiving league, and sometimes you can't take three or four chances before you stick the ball in the back of the net. Sometimes it is one or two, and we had that last year in Eves. He wasn't in terms of ability wise the best footballer, but in tight games he only got one or two chances and managed to stick the ball in the back of the net, and that is what we are missing. It's those fine lines between being successful and not being successful, and sometimes you have to have a game changer, and I think we're not missing it in midfield anymore. We look like we're sorting it out defensively. There isn't anything wrong with Jakubiak and Hanlon. I like them both. He was poor yesterday in terms of Mandron was poor yesterday when he come on. I still think that he's young and he's learning, and I think he will have a big part to play. But them three alone have got only just over 10 goals in the last year. The problem is that in order to go and get a good striker, you need to spend the money.
Yeah.
And that's not what we're going to do. So I don't know. It's a tough one, because we're sitting here and saying we scored 14 goals in 9 games, which is, it isn't bad. Isn't a bad return, but when you've got tight games and you're at 1-1 or you're at 2-1 or 2-1 down or 1-0 and you need to go and get another goal, sometimes you just need that real quality to go and finish the team off. That's the thing. And we haven't quite got that at the moment.
Yeah. Next one's still relating to the striker situation. Liam Taylor says, target man needed. What is your overriding feeling with Mandron? Because I think there's been a couple of games where he's come on and been really effective,
mm-hmm.
and a couple of games, a bit like yesterday, where he's come on and I think he's just slowed us down.
Yeah.
It's been a bit of a weird one for him so far. It's like he tips the scales one way or the other.
Yeah, I know. I quite like him. I know he hasn't had a great game yesterday, but he has made impacts in other games. He is what he is. That's the thing.
My only worry with him is that even when we are chasing the game, whatever, and we bring him on, even if he does have a bit of an impact,
yeah,
is he going to score?
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah, that's what I mean. He doesn't ever... He looks like he's going to create it, but not score. Mm. And that is a real... I don't think we need a target man. I think we need someone that's going to be there at the right place at the right time.
And strikers are hard to find.
They are. They are hard to find, but I think we're... How many times have we seen this season where... And we saw it yesterday, where there was balls put in the middle of the six-yard box, either flashed across the face of goal, in the air or on the floor... And there isn't anyone there to tap it in. Natural goal scorers are there. That's what we're missing.
Yeah. Ben Horn says not quite enough. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Kim Pringle goes along with you and says we should have won. And again, no we, because that'd be four words.
Are you putting the word in?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it just says should have won.
Oh.
For some reason, I'm putting we in every
time. You're
making
people sound idiots.
I'm making it out like people can't count to three. Yeah. finally, Matthew Hill's given us three. He said lacking cutting edge for one.
Yeah, we could go along with that.
Number two, he said unlucky to lose. Yeah, I think we all agree on that one. And lastly, he said, he said, just fell short.
I'll go along with that as well. Yeah, I agree with all them three.
Those three we can go along with. So in the main, pretty fair assessment amongst that section we've had there. Next up is a trip to the Kassam Stadium on Saturday. I think we've decided now we are going to head up there, aren't we?
We are going to go.
We've been toying with the idea.
First away game of the season. For you. That bloody time. Yeah, for me.
Yeah, hopefully I'm a bit more of a lucky charm than the last one at Coventry. This is an interesting one because prior to yesterday, you'd have looked at Oxford and gone, this should probably be quite a routine 3 points because they're shipping goals left, right and centre and don't look like they've got much clue what they're doing.
Yeah.
Until they go to Lincoln yesterday and walk away 6-0 winners. Hopefully they've used up their next month's worth of goals yesterday.
Yeah.
I've not seen highlights of that game. I've got no explanation for that result. It seemed like a bit of a freak, if you ask me.
I can imagine Lincoln are pretty rot of losing the Cowley boys.
You'd have thought, you'd have thought that would have had an impact, wouldn't you? Even in 6-0.
I see one of their goals is bloody great hit.
Do you think this is a game next week that we really need to be winning?
Yes.
If we ever want to be pushing into that top 10 this season, this is the type of game where they have let a lot of goals in so far this season.
Definitely.
And we need to be trying to take advantage of that.
Definitely. 100%. These next two games, we've got to be winning. Got to be winning. Because, like you say, Oxford and Southend are two teams that we should be beating.
Southend did win yesterday, though. At long last.
Yeah.
With Henrik Larsson looking like he's going to take over.
Oh, yeah. It's
very strange.
Very strange. Very, very weird. I still think them two are definitely two teams that we should be beating them. Certainly, if we want to make strides into that top 10, these are two games that are massive now. And also that, say we walk away with disaster strikes and we walk away with nothing out in the next two games. And we're sitting, 19th or something. Pressure starts to build, doesn't it? Very, very quickly. Because Jules fans are not going to...
Well, we know this.
Jules
fans are already moaning.
Yeah, Jules fans are not gonna be patient. I just think... Yeah, the point I'm trying to make is that Evans, for his sake, really, needs to be... Now, I'm not sitting here and saying, for God's sake, we need to go and win these next two games or Evans should be out the door. What I am saying is that people are already, for some reason, stupidly losing patience and I just want to shut these people up because it's a bit stupid now and a bit ridiculous. But these... Yeah, these two games are massive for us. Massive for us. And it isn't going to determine our season, but these are the two games that we have to be winning. And people do look at the league table after 10 games and go, right, now we can kind of see where people go. And if we sit here in 2 weeks' time and we've got 6 points and we're 9th, 8th, it's a good start.
Yeah. Yeah, do you think these next two games probably determine whether we've had a good start to the season or a slightly under par one?
Yeah, massively.
Depending on what we take from these next two games.
I think you can kind of review it. And if we take 4 points out of the next... 4 points out of possible six and we sit 14th, 13th, 14th, you're probably looking at... It's okay. It's probably... by my expectations, just below where we should be.
And the thing is, people will go on about where we are on the table and whatever, but if 11th, 12th games comes and we're 13th, 14th, I'd be quite comfortable with that. I don't want us to peak too early.
No, that's the problem. It's a long season.
Because we see that under Lovell when Lovell come in and we won a lot of games in a short space of time and then we just...
15 games.
And then soon the wheels just fell off
and we
ended up going sort of 7-8 games without winning towards the end of the season. So I'd rather us be in mid-table February time and then try and have a little bit of a a bit of form and rise up than be a team that people are looking at to target. So, I think these next two games, I think 4 points is the minimum. Do I think we can go to Oxford and win next week? Yes. I've never seen us win at Oxford.
I have.
No, I haven't. I've seen a 0-0. I've seen us get slapped under Pennock.
I saw that. When you lost it.
That was not a good experience, that game. I didn't go last season.
I saw us when Cody scored to win us.
But that was the game that broke the away day curse.
It did break the away. Scully was on the pitch.
Did we win there last season? Did we lose 1-0? Did we lose 1-0?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. Holy considered a penalty in the last minute.
That's right. But the thing is with Oxford is that they've not started the season very well, but they've got some players,
I think they've got some good players. I've got to uni with an Oxford fan, and he was saying that they're a little bit weird. He said that they'll either be really, really bad or really, really good. And my response was a bit like Jules then. He said that at home, if they don't have a good start first 15, 20 minutes, the fans quite quickly turn, because he said their fans are a little bit like us. Half their fan base can't stand Robinson and half their fan base love him. But he said, they've got good players. He said, but the good players they've got, like the names they've got, like are all past it. So like Jamie Mackie and that, he said, just old. They've got Ben Woodburn down there though.
From Liverpool?
Yeah.
Weird that he's in League One, isn't it?
But apparently, Robinson was a youth coach in Liverpool, and one of the other Liverpool loanees they've got at Oxford is best mates with Ben Woodburn, and that's the only reason they've got him.
Well, that's interesting.
So that's how that move come about. But yeah, I think we can go there and win.
The thing is for us now is I think most people would agree that in the main, the performances are there.
Definitely.
We just now need to start converting them performances into the results that we deserve.
That's the thing. At what point do we sit here and go, yeah, we need to start winning games? That's like, the thing is, there's only so long us lot and Steve can sit here and say, yeah, we're getting there. Like, we're playing well. We're still building. There's going to be a point in the season where performances aren't going to win you games. And we can't keep sitting here and saying, yeah, we're building. We're getting there. Like, we're trying really hard. We're playing well. We're starting to get there. Because there's got to be a point where we say, no, right, now we've got to start winning games. Because the thing is that after 10 games, the table's not going to matter. 15 games, 20 games, 25 games, 35 games, 40 games. That table is going to matter on the 46th game in May. That is when people are going to look at that table and see where Gillingham FC have finished. And that's what's going to matter. And if we're sitting 13th, people are going to go, what's the point of changing that then? And that is a big thing for this football club, that we have to finish higher than last season. We have to, because as much as I couldn't stand Steve Lovell and his football and the way we played, we finished a respectable 13th last year. It was. We didn't deserve it. I still to this day don't think we deserve 13th. It was down to other teams not being that great. But we finished 13th. Now, if we don't finish higher than that come the end of this season, it's going to be big questions asked. Massive questions. Me being one of them. I love Steve Evans. A lot of people don't. But I think he's the right guy at this moment for this football club. he gets himself involved in athletics like he did yesterday. I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Let's come on to that before we finish.
But at the end of the day, he is the right man for this football club. He's made a lot of changes. I just think people need to start backing off a little bit. Just start supporting the team. Even if you don't like him, fine. Support the team. Just, I think there needs to be a point where, at what point do we say, right, we need to start winning football matches. Forget performances, we need to start winning football matches.
Yeah.
Because there's only so long we can go on not winning, playing well, building. I think it's got to be sooner rather than later.
I do still... The difference for me at the moment, one, it is still quite early in the season.
Yeah.
So I'm not that worried because of that reason.
No.
But another reason why I'm not that worried about it is because, despite the fact we've only won two games, the performances have left me in a position that every week before every game, I'm looking at it thinking, yeah, I can see us getting a result today.
Yeah, I know you
mean. Whereas I think back to a year ago, and I'm walking out of games, especially at home, going, honestly, couldn't tell you where I think the win's going to come from.
Yeah, I know.
And at the moment, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, yeah, I think we'll go and do Oxford next week. Yeah, we'll probably go and do Southend.
Yeah.
So I'm seeing the performance, like you say, there is going to come a point. But at the moment, I'm seeing enough to convince me that the wins are going to come. And I still think that we're a type of team that if we go and win two or three on the spin, I think we could quite easily turn that into 4-5-6.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think we've got players that once they get on a little bit of a roll and the confidence gets up, and I think that's what Evans teams do.
Yeah.
I think once they start motoring, they go on.
Yeah, yeah.
And just hopefully that, you know, two games against Oxford and Southend could be the ideal time to kick off some good form.
Yeah.
Because I think we've got Peterborough coming up in the next few weeks, and we're going to want to be on form for when we play them.
We've got the right management in place. They know what they're doing.
Have we got a better squad than last season? I'd say yes.
Definitely.
Have we got more points than at this stage last season? Yes. Have the performances been better in the main than last season? Yes. And despite the fact a lot of people don't like him, the atmosphere at Priestfield has improved an awful lot at the home games this season.
Yeah, it has.
And there are, the chant of his name does go round sometimes.
Stadium bombing.
I didn't think it ever would. And it does at all the games a couple of times. So I think in the main, people are behind him. I'd say a good, probably 80% of the fan base are quite content with him at the moment and the work he's doing. Obviously, the vocal minority are always going to be noticed.
Yeah.
But even when I read, not the Facebook forum, the Vital Jules forum, I think it is, there was a lot of negativity when he got appointed on there. But now I read, people's reviews from yesterday and they're saying, you know what? I don't really like the bloke, but I can see the direction we're going in. And that's the thing, that's the good thing I can see at the moment with Jules. I can see a direction.
Yeah.
Whereas for the last couple of years, I didn't really know what our aims were.
I was speaking to James Cleal yesterday, and we were having a conversation about Steve and the football club, and we were saying that he's made us be a professional outlet again, both on and off the pitch. People might sit here and say that, calling him the gaffer, have a word with yourself. Yes, you call him the gaffer because he is the manager. He is the gaffer. So what? They're in a professional environment. They call him a professional word. I think credit to the media team. Henry and Phil are doing a cracking job at the media team. They have brought... They put more out there on match days. Yeah. I think Tom Lawrence, since he's come in at CEO, there's more things happening on a match day now in factory. There's things happening at half time with the crossbar challenge. I know it's a little bit of fun, but there's something happening at half time. They've now brought out a free junior Jules programme for little kids. I know it's a little bit funny, but they've now got a girl mascot for little kids to have photos with and stuff. Little things like that. Yeah. I know people will sit here and laugh and it's a little bit stupid, but to those little kiddies that do come to Jules, that means quite a lot to them.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And the thing is that it just seems to be that because we've got a management that wants to send the team in the right direction, they are then pulling the whole club with them. And I do now look at our football club and go, you know what, we have got a real philosophy. We're trying to play the right way. We've got youngsters in there that want to prove themselves. We've got players in there that it hasn't quite worked out in Ollie Lee and Ben Pringle, that it hasn't quite worked, and Mark Marshall, it hasn't quite worked out at clubs of late, and they want to prove themselves a little bit, which is good. Like, we've got a philosophy now of mixed old and youth that want to play for the football club, are energetic, are willing to learn, willing to put the hours in, and willing to put the hard graft in. We are not by any means the most talented side in this division, but what this side will give you is hard graft, work for the badge. And Evans might piss a few people off, but I for one would rather see my manager like give it a good go on the sideline rather than seeing a manager stand there with his arm folded for 90 minutes.
Because this is the thing, I think back to the last,
the way Evans and Rayner act on the sideline, it then goes on to our team. How many times did you see yesterday a few of our boys throw their bodies in the way of tackles, 50-50 straight in there? You wouldn't have got that last year.
No, because this is the thing. I think back to the last couple of seasons, and just often we'd have poor results at home, and there's just a lot of negativity at full time and stuff like that. And now I'll give you two examples: Blackpool at home, and yesterday, where results haven't gone our way, yet those 11 players have still been applauded off the pitch.
Yeah,
and that is all we ask for. That even if we don't win a game, go and leave everything out there, and we'll give you a round of applause and send you on your way at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what they're getting at the moment.
Yeah.
Whereas,
because at Sam's at home last year, we were pathetic. Pathetic.
I look at, last season at home, teams like Walsall and Blackpool were coming and making us look silly.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, we should take points off Ipswich.
There you go.
We will compete in every game. I don't see us losing the game by 3 goals this season.
No.
Cue 4-0 Oxford next week, probably. I don't see it.
No, I know.
Because even the games we've lost, they've been by 1 goal, and we've been in them.
Well, apart from Coventry.
That was 1-0.
Weren't it 2-0?
No, 1-0.
1-0, was it? Yeah. Bloody hell.
And even then, we have a chance right at the end to take a point. And that's the thing, is that even if you're not playing well in games, and we do concede the first goal, Evans just seems to have that way of keeping the team relaxed. Don't panic.
Yeah.
Keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't do anything silly and give another one away, and we'll be all right.
Yeah.
And then we come strong again towards the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And that seems to be our approach. And I think in the long run, that will work. But no, before we finish, yes, Steve Evans, Paul Lambert. Discuss.
I can't badly swear on here, can I?
It's hard because we don't know exactly what
Paul Lambert is a beep.
I've always actively disliked Paul Lambert. I think he's a melt.
The fact is, first off, it's common knowledge because people were sitting around by it, and my dad was sitting around by it, and he heard him say it. Him giving it to Jack Tucker. He ain't your player, mate. Leave him alone. Unprofessional, pathetic. Thinks that because he's coached at the highest level, he can act like that. Disgusting. He should be fined for that. You don't treat another professional that way. Oh, he's giving it the big on like his article that coming from our bench or whatever. Yeah, we probably wouldn't react like that if you don't have to run your mouth off. Like, the thing is that Evans, he isn't an angel. We all know that. We all know that from past. But he is the first one, and he said it in press conferences, and he said it after the games, where he's praised the other manager and the way they play football. And it was the first time yesterday that he had to report Lambert for something. Apparently, he wasn't even right in a professional game, and he ended up reporting it to the fourth official. he's disgusting, Paul Lambert. And I wouldn't have any time for him. I'm surprised he's even got that job after managing Norwich, and they can celebrate like they want in like Liverpool winning the Champions League final at the end, winning away at Littlewell Gillingham and celebrating like you've just been Dortmund in the Champions League final. Like, grow up. I'm not being funny. Like, you haven't won a cup final, you haven't won promotion, you're at Ipswich Town, you're in League One for a reason, because you're shit. Like, it's as simple as that. Like, I'm not being funny. Anyone that was at the game yesterday, they were very, very lucky to walk away with a 1-0 win against us. Very lucky. And I think they should get off their aisles a little bit, because they're no good. They're no good. And I think they'll be up there. I don't think they'll get promoted, because I don't think they were great. And he needs to rein his neck in, didn't he? A little bit.
Obviously, there will be people that just instantly think, oh, we'll blame Evans, because that's what we want to do. But I've seen quite a few comments from people that were sat in around the dugout saying that apparently from minute one, Lambert was giving it some.
Yeah.
From the very, very start. He probably knew, or he probably thought, I'll start, and Evans will rise to it and get himself sent off. That was probably what he was thinking to do. Because I see two or three people say that they have never seen an opposition manager spend more time looking at what his opposite manager's doing than actually watching the game.
Yeah.
Which is apparently what Lambert was doing.
You go then.
So it sounds like he's just been a little bit childish, to be honest. And obviously we don't know what he said to Evans, but Evans has reported it, and if don't know, nothing might come of it.
But if you
have said stuff to Evans, don't then kick off because he's not shook your hand at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Don't run your mouth off and then start crying because he don't want to shake your hand. Like, let's be honest, it's all a bit of nonsense, really, isn't it?
It is a little bit, but at the end of the day, people sit there and automatically think, oh, we're Steve Evans again, like, oh, he's involved in it, but no, like, I'm not being funny, like, anyone would react towards him and not shake his hand if he's going to act like a twat. Just be gracious in your win, mate. Like, I'm not being... Like, you've won the game.
Because I see a video of him afterwards, and he's just slagging off the way we played football and everything like that. He was like, oh, I'm surprised they play like that. Their bench is more exciting to watch than their football. And it's like, grow up, mate.
Just
take your points and go.
Yeah. Why does he care so much about us? We're little old Gillingham. I mean, they set up... Well... Yeah, I mean, we're a little old Gillingham, but like I said, like, what's the hand thing at the end, like, holding hands and celebrating with your away end?
Yeah, Liverpool.
Like, I'm not being funny. Like, you had 2,000 fans in there that, I could hear a pin drop in there, and you had your manager giving it large that you'd beaten us 1-0.
What about the number four at full time giving it to the Rainham end? Well done, you.
Like, mate... Like, you were literally one of the worst sides in the Championship last year, and you were a part of it. If at the end of the day, to round it off, if they want to celebrate like they've just won promotion or won a Champions League final against little old Gillingham, and that's their big day out, and good luck to them.
We must be doing something right.
And good luck to them.
If that's what a victory against Gillingham means,
yeah,
we must
good
be doing
luck
something
to
right. No, that'll do us for today. On to Oxford next week. Hopefully back on the winning road with another 3 points. Until then, up the Jills.